from Argus Media, this is Driving Discussions, a podcast series focusing on the forces affecting North American road fuels. Greetings and salutations, one and all. Jason Metko with you yet again, Associate Editor of U.S. Products here at Argus. And on today's episode, we're catching up with our RINs reporter, Matthew Cope, chatting politics and how the upcoming election in November may affect the biofuels market, and some insights into possible changes in the boho spread. Mr. Cope, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for coming back. Let's jump right into what we're calling rinse and repeat today. I love the alliteration. Well done, as always. For some of us, November can't come here fast enough. With this election, we're already seeing the political ads. Some just want a change in policy. What do we need to be looking out for short and long term as far as the biofuels market and public policy as we get closer to that first week in November?
All right. Always good to be back with you here, Jason. And like you said, oh goodness, it's another election year. And whether you're excited about it, fearful of it, anything in between, here to talk about some of that perspective from the biofuel side, because as you know, renewable fuel policy is one of those things that's very tied to what Congress, the EPA, the White House, they love to throw around stuff about renewable fuels, tax credits, and whatnot. So as you can probably imagine, we kind of know what our options are going to be. And they're two very different types of administrations and styles for what we're seeing that could potentially affect the RFS. So you have one side that was in power from 2017 to 21, and the other who's been in power since then. So I just kind of want to go through and kind of do some highlights about kind of what it would look like for each one, because this is a unique opportunity that we've seen both of these administrations in action. So a long, long time ago in a land far, far away called Washington, D.C., we had this administration that was dominated by former President Donald Trump. I will refer to him as the Red Team.
Republican Party, for those of you scoring at home.
Exactly. They were very favorable to the refining industry. They were lax on a lot of those environmental regulations. They were very generous with small refinery exemptions, which, as we've talked about in the past, if you're a much smaller refinery, you can basically be exempt from the RFS for a given amount of time. At the same time, they were also very popular with the ag industry for subsidies, tax credits, policy that benefited corn and soybean oil farmers. And what we saw were compliance costs across the board, very, very low. And, consumers could see that to a certain extent at the pump. Switching gears, a lot of things changed as those administrations changed in 2020, going into 2021. And we saw a much, much, much different approach from Joe Biden's administration, which I will refer to as the Blue Team or the Democratic Party for those who want the greater detail. They were much more strict with SREs. You saw those go from double digits down to, there's been a handful over the past couple years. Things came in with this big promise of the Green New Deal, which was kind of a core platform and a passion project for this administration. It was very heavily developed on ESG, renewables. It ended up kind of spiraling into the Inflation Reduction Act, which, as the name implies, you might think it's all about fiscal policy, but buried in there were a lot of regulation, incentives, tax credits that found their way into the renewable fuels industry, which, that was talked about a lot and still is a core part of how this stuff is getting together. But at the same time, they married that with a massive push for electric vehicles or EVs. What that did was it kind of unified the biofuels industry and the conventional refining industry against a common enemy. And you might think of, biofuels and EVs, they're both trying to do some clean energy stuff and climate change and all that. Well, remember, EVs, no fuel. That affects corn farmers. So think about it like that. And then in 2021, 2022, and into most of 2023, we had high RVO, as high as, 22 cents, which was a pretty big deal. Now, obviously, things have changed a lot since then. So kind of what happened? So the EPA came out with their set rule back in June, which locked in those biofuel blending targets for 2023, 2024, 2025. And they kept the D4 and D6 mandates a little bit lower than some people were probably comfortable with or expecting, based on some rumblings that feedstock shortages would limit the amount of blendable product. And at the same time, we had renewable diesel just taking off. And all of that production came online, which means new D4 RINs generated. And when you have an oversupply and a big surplus of those RINs, the simple economics just took over, and the RVO came down because of that. And now we're sitting close to 8 cents. We've been as low as 6.5. So not quite as low as the like 2 to 2.5 to 3 cent RVO that we saw with the red team, 4 or 5 years ago. But it's pretty low compared to where we were just a few months ago. And then essentially what you can see between these two options is if the blue team stays in charge, you're going to see more big spending on a lot of these tax credits, a lot of these programs, a lot of these, let's stir the pot, let's get it going on renewable fuels, as well as they're very, very passionate about their EVs. Now, if the red team comes back, you'll see an undoing of a lot of this. SREs will probably come back into fashion a little bit more. But either way, I would expect those biofuel blending mandates probably going to stay the same through 2025.
And we've still got a few months to go before we even contemplate what November would look like in an overall sense. Matthew Cope, our guest. We're talking RINs and all of that involved here on this edition of Driving Discussions. Let's talk BOHO. Historically, been tied to RINs, but you're telling me that might be changing. How so?
Right, and we've talked about BOHO several times when I've been here in the past, and like you said, BOHO historically, it's very closely tied with those D4 and D6 RIN prices, and biofuel producers and traders paid very close attention to these margins, because remember, BOHO, soybean oil, heating oil, it's a distance between the two. And when things would change in one direction or the other, traders would change positions. And what that would do, it would help tip the scales if they're making money or losing money on what they're bringing in for their feedstock. It's widened out back closer to a dollar, which is a lot, higher than where it was a few weeks ago. It was down in the 70 cent range for a while, and kind of that downward pressure was kind of making it even more difficult, because we had, that second fall of RVO prices from, again, all that new renewable diesel and the D4 generation glut. But that was adding some extra pressure on RINs before. In recent weeks, we're back a little bit stronger, but back to the growth of all that renewable diesel. Soybean oil is still a primary feedstock in all of this. But other fats and oils like beef tallow are becoming more mainstream. So as more renewable diesel is generated using beef tallow in the refining process, you would say then maybe they don't have to pay attention to soybean oil as much. Maybe these two things become slightly more disconnected. Overall, low RIN prices don't necessarily equate to low profitability on this stuff, but when they start to disconnect with this surplus of D4, drops in RIN value become more of a direct hit, per se.
Couple more moments with our guest here, our RINs reporter, Matthew Cope, on Driving Discussions. Either way, RINs, an incentive, source of revenue for producers, it's been a topic of discussion in recent months. I hear credit prices are moving south. What can you tell us about that, sir?
This is the other thing that's one of these byproducts of what's going on with the economics here, because it's big money to build one of these biorefineries, and these developers that have been at it a while. These are sort of unprecedented times with what's going on with RIN prices. And when you're looking for financing, it's a big question of, what are your revenues going to be off of this plant? And RINs, like you just mentioned, they're a source of revenue. So you got to pay attention to it. If prices fall by 50 to 75%, think about what that does. If you're the RIN generator and you're relying on it to be the bottom line to get financing, and or maybe your plant's behind schedule and you need more financing, and before you went to your investment banker buddies and said, hey, I need this much money, and RINs are $1.50 and it's going to be great, we're going to be making money. But when they're 50 cents, think about if your plant generates 100 million RINs, 100 million times $1.50, 100 million times 50 or 60 cents, I'll leave you to do the math. So investors know this. We've started hearing discussions kind of coming from that side about kind of the this kind of elephant in the room question mark, and think about what this is going to do for things like SAF, which is, for those that don't know, sustainable aviation fuel, not necessarily part of the road fuels industry, but has an impact here in that it's made in a very similar way as renewable diesel, and it generates a D4 RIN. And everybody on that side, they're super gung-ho about in the future. You know, it's going to ramp up. We're going to have renewable and alternative jet fuel everywhere. But those that know about adding more RINs to the pile, well, what could that do? And those that are trying to get financing for these big expensive plants, that's a big question.
Well, they say money talks. Matthew, as always, we appreciate it, man. Let's talk again soon, okay?
You got it. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Great many thanks to our RINs reporter, Matthew Cope, for once again joining us on this edition of Driving Discussions, a production of Argus Media, a leading independent provider of commodity market information. Reminder to check out the previous episodes in our series, and for the latest on our America's Biofuels coverage, make sure you check out argusmedia.com/America's-biofuels.